Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shedd. I am a writer for the Viking Age Zone coverage. Bring me the news and the Brookings Register. My co-host is Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. And we're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. Adam, this was a difficult episode to think of content for because we've officially entered the don't get arrested portion of the NFL offseason. The Chiefs have failed miserably, but same the Vikings guy. Have done good so far. Yes.
It's the same guy, so I guess that's a little better for them, but yeah, they would rather not have that happen.
Nobody's dog has been in an emergency, resulting in speeding down I-94. I actually went to Minneapolis yesterday or over the weekend, and I decided to take a different route home to Brookings. So I took the Corin Robinson Memorial Speedway in St. Peter, Minnesota, Highway 169. And as I was driving through, I was like, yeah, I could see how like this could be a straightaway speed trap. I mean, you know, you got the trees lining everything up. They had the flags for Flag Day. Yeah, you could definitely see Koro blowing a whatever it was and going about. I can't remember the speed. It was a lot. Let's just leave it.
Former Pro Bowler with the Vikings.
Former Pro Bowler, Corin Robinson.
As a returner, I think.
Yes. Yes, that was a weird, because I believe it was 05.
The Might Vikings have been the only Pro Bowler.
Yeah, the Vikings picked him up, and then he did a great job on kick returns. And then the next year, they were like, all right, we're going to use him as a receiver. And then he got drunk and sped down Highway 69, and or 169, rather. And then, you know, that was the
was
end
he
with of
the,
that.
Was he with the Seahawks before, I want to say?
He was with the Seahawks. First round pick. He might have even been a top 10 pick with the Seahawks back in the day. But yeah, I'll have to look that up when we got a second. But you know what? Corin Robinson,
yes,
former Viking.
Number nine.
So he was ninth overall, North Carolina State, correct?
Yep, 2001.
That was a good old Madden 2002 franchise guy.
For sure.
Where you're just like,
he had 22 catches for 347 yards and one touchdown. Good old Quan Treadwell numbers in his lone season.
Oh, his lone season. I thought you meant his entire career. I think there were more, but
he was with the Seahawks for a while, and then he had a season with the Packers, and then he finished off with the Seahawks.
Yeah, just went right back there. It kind of got me thinking, you know, about some other former Viking and what they're up to these days. No update on Corin Robinson right now. wish we had one, but no offense to him. I hope he's doing well. But let's start by talking about some former Vikings. Like, I don't know, Stephon Diggs. That won't get anybody riled up. Yeah, exactly. That's how most Viking fans act when they hear Stephon Diggs' name. Diggs, in case you haven't heard, formerly of the Buffalo Bills as well, traded to the Houston Texans this offseason and talked to reporters last week. And let's just say, not surprisingly, he doesn't have fond memories of the Vikings front office. Little story time with Krishad Bebe. I don't know if they sent me to Buffalo with the kindest, with the most great intent, but all's well that ends well. When I got to Buffalo, Josh Allen, he embraced me. We spent a lot of time, and I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. That's all he said, but Vikings fans sure got upset because why not? What do you think about Stephon Diggs's, I'm not even going to call him comments, sentence towards the Vikings?
I mean, they're not surprising if you followed his career at all. It's just what he does. He says things maybe as nicely as possible. Like, he's very, I don't know, I guess passive aggressive, but he's still kind of just like, I think he was on, what's that called? The Shop, the LeBron like series where they sit in like barber chairs or whatever. And they talk, and he talked about how like the Vikings like send him to die to go to Buffalo. And this was like a year ago. So now he's with the Texans and he's still talking about how the Vikings essentially, you know, sent him to Buffalo for his career to die. And it's like, I guess, you know, at the time, I think you could argue that, like, that, you know, they sent him to a quarterback who wasn't Josh Allen, wasn't the Josh Allen that we know of today. But the Vikings still sent him to a team that was coming off of a playoff appearance and a young quarterback who's still up and coming and a team that needed a number one wide receiver. So, you know, I'm not too sure, like, I don't know if there was a better place that he could have gone in terms of where he could have gotten traded. Maybe, I don't know, like the Patriots back in the day. It's hard to think of the rosters from, what was it, 2020? Like what they looked like back then. But yeah, it worked out really well for him. But for some reason, he keeps harping on the Vikings, you know, send him to die or whatever. I don't know. Maybe Mike Zimmer said something crazy to him on the way out or something. Not that he would ever do that.
Trade, yeah. We're gonna bury your body next to Daniel Carlson. You know what I did to Daniel Carlson? I don't know. That was terrible. Mike Zimmer never really yelled like that, but it was more like a whiny. Like his yelling was more
he
like
did on the
stalker.
Field. On the,
oh yeah, he did. But I mean, it was like, hey, like you know what I mean? His voice never had like this like Vince McMahon growly.
Sure. No. Yeah, it never got
high pitched. Yeah.
It never got scary. It was just a scolding, pretty much.
Yeah.
I remember the Teddy game where the Rams like knocked him out, and there's NFL films where he's just like, "Hey, fuck you, fuck me, hey."
Teddy gets knocked out, and yeah, I remember that one very well. The 11 and 5.
After that game, he like wanted to fight. Was it Greg Williams, who was the defensive coordinator for the Rams?
I thought he wanted to fight Jeff Fisher.
Uh-uh.
Oh, so it was Greg Williams.
Uh-huh.
Ah, okay.
Which Vikings fans were fine with because everyone hates Greg Williams from 2009.
Yeah.
Being the Saints guy. But yeah, Diggs, like, it's not surprising. I wouldn't say there's a lot of divas in terms of, like, back when we were growing up, we had, like, the wide receiver divas. Like, you could put Randy Moss in there, Terrell Owens, Chad Johnson, some other people. Like, he's probably the definition of the modern day wide receiver diva, and he's always going to give you stuff to talk about, whether it's good or bad. But it's just weird. It seems like he's obsessed with like talking about how the Vikings did him wrong, even though he went to the Bills and was an all pro and made the Pro Bowl every year. So it's like, what? How did they do you wrong? Because it looked like it turned out pretty well. Like he'll say like, oh, it was, well, that was because of me. I did all that. But it's like, but it also depends where they put you. Like in that situation, they put you in a great situation, I feel like.
I don't think the Vikings cared where they were sending Stephon Diggs. Yeah, I mean, I don't think any team cares when they're trading a guy. They're like, all right, we're done here. And to a lot of the fans' credit, I mean, he was a headache in the second, you know, post-miracle.
On social media.
Yeah, on social media, on the field, in the locker room, mm-hmm. You know, talking to people. Yeah. a lot of things went wrong. Things got ugly towards the end. We all know that. If the Vikings never traded Stephon Diggs to Buffalo, do you think, you know, what happens with the Vikings? Does he take off? I mean, he's not going to put up Justin Jefferson numbers, but I mean, does he have a good career? Does he do what he did in Buffalo? That's an even better question, because I think that was the big thing that he was upset, because he was telling Mike Zimmer, dude, you guys got to throw the ball. You have me, you have Adam Thielen, you have Kyle Rudolph, Dalvin Cook. Well, everybody thought Dalvin Cook could catch, but not really. But not to rag on Dalvin Cook, but I feel like all Diggs wanted was that kind of nod, like, hey, let's feed you guys a little bit more instead of, you know, run the ball 30 times with Dalvin Cook and see where that gets us.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely wasn't a fan of the way the offense was run. And I think he admitted, I talked about that shop episode because I watched it recently, or at least his part, where like one of the hosts or whatever asked him about like how they made Thielen into the number one receiver when he was there. And I was like, yeah, kind of like they were kind of 1A and 1B, like always. And, you know, maybe at times Kirk Cousins, when he got their favor throwing Adam Thielen the ball more, maybe because, you know, he was going to get open and he had a connection with him. But he also threw the ball to Diggs a lot as well. It's not like Diggs didn't get the ball. I mean, maybe he didn't again in the Saints playoff game when they were up by like two touchdowns. He was throwing his helmet, but like he was still a big part of that offense. But yeah, like I think it was that 2019 season when against the, I think it was week two against the Raiders when they threw the ball like 10 times, but they won by like three touchdowns. And then they played the Bears and they didn't throw the ball out either. And so, you know, Diggs complained and Thielen complained. Not that people talk about that. But yeah, like he had a good role, but he wanted to do more and he proved that he could. So, you know, that's sometimes that happens and it worked out for both teams because the Vikings got Justin Jefferson out of it.
And the Vikings under Kevin Stefanski, like Stefanski's job was to simplify things for Kirk Cousins. Because John DeFilippo came in 2018. He had the, you know, I don't even know what you would call that offense. It was it didn't fucking work offense is what it's called. The pass happy thing. And Mike Zimmer didn't like it. Yeah. So yeah, he's blowing it up in training camp practices. It's RPO stuff.
Mike Zimmer was a defensive coach. So he wants an offense that's going to give his defense like the most rest as possible. Like he would be ripping his hair out if Kevin O'Connell was his offensive coordinator. Because remember 2022 when they like led the league in three and outs, that defense would have been gassed.
Yeah,
and they were.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, yeah, they did give Dalvin Cook the ball a lot in 2019. Yep. That's one of the reasons they made the playoffs.
Yep.
2019 also, Stephon Diggs' role was more of like a Randy Moss role, where it was deep shots all the time. Kirk's gonna throw it downfield. He's accurate, but Kirk doesn't always look for those deep throws. He wasn't doing the over the middle stuff. That's what happened when he went to Buffalo is he has Josh Allen. He's doing crosser routes. He's doing a little bit of everything. And I think his game really improved from there.
I just found out that I looked it up because I thought I remembered, but the Jets almost traded for him in 2020 as well. So, you know, looking back, Diggs, would you rather have gone to the Jets or the Bills?
So the Vikings did do him a solid. In hindsight, Stephon Diggs on the Jets would have been.
I mean, he would have. They would have loved him in that market. Yeah. They would have had a lot to write about. But
yeah, that would have been a show. Last question, you know, when it comes to Diggs, do you think his perception in Minnesota amongst fans is it generally positive or negative? Because I feel like it was a lot louder when the trade first happened. Yep. And then you get Justin Jefferson and like some people are just kind of like, you got Justin Jefferson out of it. I mean, like Diggs said it himself, all's well that ends well. Mm-hmm. Like when he comes back in week three, they host the Texans. Mm-hmm. Does he get cheered or booed? Do you think?
Oh, booed.
You think he gets booed? Mm-hmm. Do you think?
I think there'll be clips of him like playing catch or whatever with like fans in the stands or whatever. But I think right now people aren't. But I think people are tired of him talking about the Vikings. Like it's been what 5 years almost since he's been there, and people are like, "Come on, man, just like get over it. You went your way. You were with the Bills. We got Justin Jefferson. Why do we still need to be talking about this?"
Yeah. So.
Well, because you think about Randy Moss, like when he was traded, I feel like people didn't want it to happen, but I think there was a section of the fan base that was like, "Finally, like get him out of here." Like Yeah. He's been a distraction.
You know, there are a couple of things like, okay, so I'm just going to level with you. That's a picture of Stephon Diggs behind me. Mm-hmm. I should have the Minneapolis Miracle photo, but I didn't think to buy it. And I had just blew over $200 on my nosebleed ticket just to get into that game, which was worth every penny because it was arguably the most fun I've ever had at a sporting event, you know, before and after the game. But like with Diggs, I don't want to call myself a defender because that's how this is going to sound like, but I do think he gets a bit of a bad rap because when he was here, you know, he was awesome. He was a lot of people's favorite player even before the Minneapolis Miracle happened. Yeah. Like you mentioned, it was 1A, 1B, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Yeah. There were some times where it felt like Thielen had that leg up, you know, and I don't know if it was a few dinners at Texas Roadhouse. I don't know if it was, you know, sobbing during a podcast and giving an apology like Adam Thielen did. I don't know if it's because Adam Thielen is from Minnesota and he basically got a pass for everything until his wife went on social media and talked about how he never got opportunities, even though he was second on the team the final year that he left. If you couldn't tell, I'm not a big Adam Thielen guy. But
he was back in town yesterday, actually.
Of course he was. He's one of us. He is always here. I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah, I'm going to say they were in town for Father's Day for somebody's family.
Anyway, yes, that's beside the point. The point I'm trying to make is here, like, it ended ugly. It 100% ended ugly. And I mean, that's going to leave a bet. I mean, you've been in a bet. Not to slam a future sponsor and a sponsor of another Vikings podcast, but like, Quick Trip, my previous full-time job, by the time I left there, I hated it.
Yeah.
Worked great for about 5 or 6 years. If you're looking for a part-time job, fully recommend it. But like any job, when you have an asshole for a boss, you're going to have a bad time. That's exactly what happened with Stephon Diggs. You know, he tried to tell Mike Zimmer, hey, this is how you win. We got to throw the ball more. That's going to open things up for Dalvin Cook. It's going to open things up for me, get me the numbers I want, and we're going to win more football games. And the Vikings still won 10 games in that 2019 season, but they were never real contenders. You never bought into them making a playoff run, even though we all tried after they beat the Saints, and the 49ers basically giggled and ran their ass over with Raheem Mostert, I believe. So, I mean, I don't have the ill will towards Stephon Diggs that some people do. Some people go on social media and they're like, well, Justin Jefferson was better than any time Stephon Diggs was there. Justin Jefferson is not your hot ex to go throw at a former NFL player.
Right.
Because you're upset that he didn't like his job. Shit happens. Like, honestly, it happened. And I mean, you know, it sucks he feels that way about Minnesota. Maybe when he comes back. Because this is how I think it goes down. And I mean, the game
will be played. It's Minnesota night, so yeah.
The game will be played. You know, they'll boo him every time he catches the ball, I'm sure. But at the same time, I've said this before. This is what they're going to do. They're going to play the Minneapolis Miracle clip. They're going to show Diggs and, you know, Alan Roach or whatever his name. He's going to. Stephon Diggs and so Case Keenum. And everybody's going to lose their mind because they remember that play. When Stephon Diggs retires, they're going to give him a call and be like, you know, do you think he's a Ring of Honor guy?
Yeah.
I would say so just for that play. So, I mean, they would probably offer him and like, hey, welcome back. Let's get you back here. Everybody's going to cheer for you. And it's going to be a good time right now. Wounds might still be a little fresh. So I don't think Stephon Diggs is the devil like some people think, but
I'll say that too. I
get it.
I don't have any problems with him. I never have. I always liked him as a player. I was just trying to approach it from like the viewpoint of the fans, the temperature I feel like it is. Cause posting stuff on him recently, I just see the reactions of people who are just like, oh my God, like who cares? But you brought up Thielen and you know, you could argue that it ended kind of ugly with him too.
Yeah.
With the whole him going on First Take and it
just ended ugly with Kirk Cousins of all people.
Yeah.
Like, right. And we'll get to him in a minute here, but I mean, like Kirk was like, you guys don't want me.
Right.
And then he figured out the Falcons might not want him too in about 2 years. But
Thielen went on like First Take and then like his wife was posting online and stuff and people are quick to forget about that because they're like, oh, I love Thielen. I hope he does well in the Panthers. And it's like, okay, but what? why doesn't Diggs get that, you know, benefit of the doubt or whatever. But yeah, like he's gone. I forgot that Case Keenum was on the Texans too when you mentioned that they would show that both of them on the Jumbotron, because
yeah,
I forgot he's even in the league still, but he's still going.
That'd be an interesting way to try and like set, hey Case, can you sit next to Diggs. hey, see what's going on with Diggs. We just something.
Think they'll be captains for the game.
I don't think NFL teams care about that though. Like the Texans aren't going to be like, okay, this is your homecoming, head on out there. But
maybe. I mean, Jair Alexander cares.
In hometown, we want to play defense. No, fuck, we want the ball. anyway, let's get off Stephon Diggs. 22 minutes on Stephon Diggs. That is not what I expected out of this.
See? Oh man.
It's pretty fun. Content just prints itself this time of year. Let's talk about the other former Viking in Houston. That's Danielle Hunter, who is mentoring Will Anderson Jr., reigning, defending. Actually, he's not defending because he can't win it twice. NFL Rookie of the Year. Hunter, of course, signed a 2-year deal with the Houston Texans last offseason, and now he's taking Anderson under his wing. More story time from head coach D'Amico Ryans. I like the connection that they've had. They are working well together, and it's great to see both of them collapse in the pocket and finishing on the quarterback. Texans fans have to like to hear that. How much do you think Danielle Hunter can help the Houston Texans defense, specifically Will Anderson Jr. next year?
Oh, I think that duo is probably going to be one of the best in the NFL next year. With D'Amico Ryans calling the defense, you know, Danielle Hunter being there just gave Will Anderson like so much more one-on-one opportunities. And then Danielle's probably going to get those too. So, and you know, it's easy to forget. Danielle's, he was with the Vikings for almost a decade, and he had 16 and a half sacks last year. And he's not even 30 yet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it seems like he's been in the league forever because he almost has, but he's not even 30 and he's going to a Texans team, which had a much better defense last year. And they're probably going to have a real good defense this year, even though the Vikings, you know, took away some of their pieces. They took away Jonathan Greenard and Blake Cashman and Shaquille Griffin. But yeah, I think Danielle's going to do really well there. He's from Houston. He talked about, you know, just being excited to play in front of his family and friends a lot more. So I'm curious to see how he does down there. I think he'll do really well though.
Yeah. I it's one of the quieter signings of the offseason.
He's a quiet guy.
Yeah, that too. I mean, you didn't hear a lot about it. You know, like you said, guy had 16 and a half sacks last year. I think people forget that. I think, you know, Jonathan Greenard, we're all excited about him. He also had a career year and has been injured every other year. You know, you're seeing the same thing with Dallas Turner and Jonathan Greenard here, where, you know, Turner is going to learn under Greenard, and Andrew Van Ginkle is there as well. He's played in a Brian Flores defense. I think a lot of those things kind of make sense. Sometimes I wonder how much the like veterans helping the rookies thing gets a little bit overused.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, we've seen it the last 6 years with, again, Kirk Cousins. And drink every time I say Kirk Cousins. Maybe that'll make this show more entertaining.
Everyone will black out.
Yeah. Everyone will just be like, oh, man, he's not even on the team anymore. But no, I think, you know, we saw Kirk kind of reject that role. And it seems like more and more you're seeing veterans, you know, maybe at the tail end of their career, kind of accept that. And like you mentioned, too, Danielle Hunter's not even 30 yet. He could be a guy that is like Von Miller. Yep. Where, you know, he can remain productive into his mid-30s because he does take care of his body. He looks like a UFC fighter. I think a lot of people forget, too, that Danielle Hunter had 10 and a half sacks in Ed Donatell's defense, and he didn't even know what the fuck he was doing. Like, he's just like dropping cover. Okay, the quarterback. I'm going after the quarterback. You know, I think, yeah, he's a smart player. He is a talented pass rusher. And I think, again, assuming he stays healthy, which he's been able to do outside of two seasons in his career, that he could have another good year or two. It just made more sense for where the Vikings are as an organization to move on, find a player that they think can be just as productive in Jonathan Greenard and hopefully Dallas Turner down the road, and let him, you know, go get his bag in Houston that he's been wanting for the last God knows how many years.
Yeah. Do we think Jordan Hicks really, he was a big reason why Ivan Pace Jr. was so good last year as a undrafted rookie. I'm going to go on maybe a little bit, showed him the ropes, but not like, I think Ivan Pace Jr. is just really good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of times it's just that case where it's like, it's great Danielle Hunter's, you know, mentoring Will Anderson, but he was the defensive rookie of the year. So it's not like he might need a little couple pointers here and there, you know, some different moves and stuff, because you want teams, you want to, you know, come in with new stuff almost every year to show teams. I think there was a quote from Will Anderson, and it was like ESPN story about how he was doing drills with Daniil, and Daniil like almost broke his wrist because he's so strong and with his grip. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like Daniil. But yeah, he could definitely, like, he only signed a 2-year deal with the Texans. He could definitely, if he plays well these next 2 years, like he could definitely get another big time deal in 2 years. I mean, look at, was it Calais Campbell? Is he 39, 38? He's up there.
Yeah.
He just signed with the Dolphins. So yeah, like if you can make yourself useful in the NFL, you know, especially on defense, you can last a while. Like, we've seen this happen a lot. So yeah, especially with Daniil, cause like you said, his body, like, when's the last time he had a carb? I don't know. Probably like when he was 5.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, I had 2 slices of bread for a sandwich this afternoon. So
yeah,
there is that.
He definitely doesn't do that.
No, not a big sandwich guy, I have a feeling. Well, you talk about guys just hanging around just because, you know, they're willing to do a little bit of everything. Cordarrelle Patterson's kind of in the same boat. Not the all pro that Hunter, well, he is a former all pro, I believe, kick returner,
yep.
Correct?
Yep.
So I'm selling him short here, but he is with the Steelers now,
yeah.
And he said, more story time for you. I'm not coming in here to step on anyone's toes. I know my role and I know what I can bring to the team. So whatever they need me to do, man, I'm that guy. How surprised are you that Patterson is still in the league and doing a little bit of everything?
Like, kind of like Daniil, where I don't think he doesn't get injured a lot. And he always has that kick return ability. Teams are going to like that, especially this year with the new rules, where I think he'll benefit from that. And then his versatility, he started out as a wide receiver for the Vikings. And then he pretty much, I want to say with the Patriots, he shifted more to a running back. And then after that, like, I think he went to the Falcons or the Bears, and they used him more primarily as a running back. And now with the Steelers, I think he's just listed as a running back. And Arthur Smith is their offensive coordinator now, so that's the connection that he made. That's I'm assuming that's why he went there, because he's familiar with Arthur Smith. You know, say what you will about his head coaching ability, but when he was with the Titans, I think he was a decent offensive coordinator. He got the most out of Ryan Tannehill that anyone ever has, and they were a really good running team with Derrick Henry. But yeah, like, just the best. We hear it all the time, you know, from Mike Zimmer or other coaches, like, the best availability is availability. So, like, Patterson hasn't really dealt with many injuries in his career. He's reliable. He's a veteran. He stays out of trouble. Like, that's a big thing. Like, just ask the Chiefs. Just stay out of trouble. So I'm curious to see how he does in Pittsburgh. It's a good organization. He seems to, like, end up with all, like, the most... I don't know, like, I guess the Falcons aren't, because I was going to say he was with the Bears, he was with the Patriots, now he's with the Steelers. Like, he's going to all, like, the historic franchises. But yeah, it's curious to think, like, what could have been with Cordarrelle Patterson in Minnesota.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the questions I have written down. Do you think he's one of the bigger what-ifs of the Zimmer era? Because he has that big 2013. He shows up in 2014. And then they basically use him like a running back in that first game against St. Louis, mm-hmm. Now Los Angeles, of course. But then Norv Turner's like, no, bang 8 route. Like, you need to learn the bang 8 route, mm-hmm. because Michael Irvin ran it. And then Laquan Treadwell showed up and he's like, no, bang 8 route. Mm-hmm. And about 4 or 5 games of Laquan Treadwell, he's like, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah. And then Turner and Zimmer might have gotten a scuffle and then Turner quit.
Yeah, might be why that eye looked like he got in a car crash.
It wasn't wind that blew the sheet in his eye when he had sunglasses on.
It may have been 3 or 4 Super Bowl rings to the face.
Yeah. we digress. But yeah, like, I just don't think the Vikings knew how to use him. Like, Norv Turner was an older offensive coordinator. He came from what? He was with the Cowboys, obviously, when their Super Bowl run. He was with Washington, San Diego. He had guys like Antonio Gates, LaDainian Tomlinson. Who are the receivers that they had? Was it Vincent?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jackson, was he there for that, or was that Schottenheimer?
I think Vincent Jackson was there when Turner was there.
Yeah, so he had those guys that were more traditional, like, you're a wide receiver, you do this, you're a running back, you do this, where Patterson was like kind of the second coming of Percy Harvin and the first, another iteration of Deebo Samuel, where it's like, you can put me anywhere and I can, you know, I can make a play, just give me the ball in my hand. You think of that Ravens-Vikings game in his rookie season in the snow, and that was insane because he just got the ball and he just made everyone miss. Now, did the elements have something to do with that? Probably a little bit. But still, like, he had a crazy game that year. I remember, like, his rookie year, I think he had 9 touchdowns because Bill Musgrave, I think that season was just, like, in the bag already. It was over. Bill Musgrave was just like, fuck it, just throw him the ball. Just give him the ball. Let's see. Let's have some fun. I only have 3 plays on my play sheet anyways. So just, you know. Just
run Adrian right, run Adrian left, and run Adrian up the middle. Or are those the 3?
Yeah. QB boot with the tight end. But yeah, like, you wonder, because he was a first-round pick. Cordell Patterson was. The Vikings traded, I think they traded back into the first round in 2013 to get Patterson. So you wonder what could have been, but just it didn't seem like a fit. For what the Vikings want to do under Mike Zimmer. Now, if he was in their current offense, I'd be curious to see how Kevin O'Connell would use that, but who knows?
I think, you know, you mentioned Deebo Samuel as a bit of a comp for him. Like, they're the same type of player. I think Debo's a little better of a route runner.
Similar,
like, I think
yeah,
I think he understands that. But I mean, we've also seen, I mean, it's not like Cordero has had no success in the NFL.
No.
2 years ago, I mean, those of you who play fantasy football know this, he was a top 10 running back, and he was getting the ball all over the place. And then, you know, they decided to get an actual running back to fill his role, which is like, oh, man. But, you know, I mean, he had to be a little disappointed. Like, ah, oh, shoot, he can – Bijan can catch and run.
It's funny, he's a running back, but he still wears 84.
Yeah. I mean, it's commonplace now. It's like everybody just wears whatever.
Antonio Brown is not happy that he's wearing 84, and everyone's like, well, you're an idiot, so who cares if they gave him 84? You ruined it.
The Steelers don't retire jersey numbers. There's only like 4 or 5 jerseys retired. Yeah. I mean, I think I was surprised when they retired Franco Harris's jersey a couple years ago, and they're like, this is only like the 4th number in Steelers. It's like, what? Like, I don't know.
So they're not going to retire Big Ben?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I feel like he would probably have the best chance.
Are retired, but I'll do that here during the next segment.
Hines Ward.
Yeah. I mean, he
Polamalu.
Was Troy Polamalu for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's
they have a lot. They could retire, but if that's what they do, then yeah.
Like Joe Green is definitely retired. I know that much.
Yeah. Bradshaw probably.
Yeah. Maybe.
I just look real.
We'll look here in a minute here. Let's get the next topic, and I'll look that up while you're talking. Okay. But you weren't here on Friday when the NFL dropped the absolute hammer on the Atlanta Falcons. So since we're talking about former Vikings, we might as well just mix that in there. In case you missed it in the weekend news dump, the Falcons lost a 5th-round pick in next year's draft. They were fined $250,000 for making early travel arrangements with Kirk Cousins, Darnell Mooney, and Charlie Warner. That's it. Terry Fontenot was also fined as part of the punishment. What do you think about the punishment? The value? Yeah. Do you have a wet noodle handy? Because that's pretty much what it was. But
yeah, it was just like, you guys are idiots and you made it so obvious. We have to do something. Like, Kirk's like, oh yeah, I've been talking to the Falcons for like the last couple of weeks. It's our kid's school's all set. I talked to Kyle Pitts a couple weeks ago about the number, and the NFL's just like, come on, we don't care if you tamper, just like, just don't do it out in the open. Like, it's just weird that they have an anti-tampering policy and then they just kind of turn a blind eye. But I just don't think they wanted this to turn into, well, if we, you know, come down hard on the Falcons, then, you know, other teams are going to use this to their advantage and be like, oh, well, so-and-so, you know, tampered with this player. We should get a first round, because, you know, every team does that. Because, you know, the Vikings are one of many teams who 5 minutes after, you know, the new league year begins every year, we signed Jonathan Greenard to a 4-year, $66 million deal. It's like, oh, what? You figured that out in 5 minutes. Wow, you called him and told him about where he wants to be. And he just like, yes, that's where I want to be immediately. If the NFL came down hard on the Falcons as much as Vikings fans would probably have liked them to, then they would have probably just opened a big can of worms and were led to a lot more problems. So the NFL's just like, it's just, you can do it. Just tamper. Just don't make a fool of the league and be like, oh yeah, I was talking to him like last year and we were getting ready for this. So yeah,
I said this on Friday, don't disgrace the shield. That's basically the rule. That's why it wasn't as harsh as like the Tom Brady penalty. The shield was disgraced in their mind because, you know, you have Tom Brady on a boat, and, you know, face-to-face meetings, and yeah, Sean Payton doing things behind everyone's backs. Like, who would have figured, like, this never would happen. Like, I was talking about it on Friday and I called it like the NFL's version of Fight Club. Like, what's the number one rule of Fight Club?
Yep.
Don't talk about Fight Club. Like, I think it's more accurately, it's like speeding, right? Mm-hmm. You go 5 miles over the speed limit. Mm-hmm. Every, you know, a lot of people do it. Just don't make it obvious. Don't be going 80 and a 30.
Don't try and rescue your dog.
Okay. Yeah, no, don't. This is not the time for the Coren Robinson Memorial Speedway, okay? Like, we just want you to, like, nice little drive, nice little wide open, Highway 14 to Brookings. Just don't make it obvious. Because here's the other thing. The Vikings have a lot of salary cap space next year. Yep. You think they're just going to wait until the legal negotiation? No, they're going to go up to agents and be like, what's up, man? Heard you got Kenny Clark as a free agent. We would like to sign Kenny Clark.
That's what happened at the Combine with Kirk. Like, everyone's seen that clip of Kevin O'Connell in the booth at the Combine next to Rich Eisen and Daniel Jeremiah, where he's like, as you said, a bunch of times where like it looked like someone shot his dog, where he knew that Cousins was gone because the Falcons had pretty much, you know, gave them a better offer and he knew about it already.
You guys know how I feel about Kirk. You know, I think there are some people who are talking to Kirk that shouldn't be talking to Kirk, but yeah,
meanwhile, he's a great process. Like, Kevin, and
just shut, let it go. Kevin, it's okay. We're going to draft a quarterback.
I just remember O'Connell too, like in the press conference, I think it was a little bit after free agency started, and they talked about Kirk leaving, and the whole time Quasey's talking, and Kevin's just like,
when this is over, we should get an apartment together.
And then he got JJ McCarthy, and he's like, all right, let's go. Here we go. We're ready to go. We got Sam Darnold. He's got untapped potential. We are ready to go.
Sam Darnold, untapped potential. That won't be a meme by week 4.
It's going to be the Dolphins GIF, or not Dolphins, the Jets GIF, where they did the mono thing, but just put untapped potential like the football.
I'll have to work on that. I got to get my graphic design skills.
What did I want to say about the tampering? Like, I think I was listening to Albert Breer. He was on Rich Eisen, and he was saying how back in the day, like the combine, free agency used to start like the day after the combine ended. So like tampering used to be even worse. Like you're, the negotiating period was the combine. So like now there's like what, like a week or two in between. So that stuff's just going to happen.
Why wouldn't you just have free agency start at the combine? Like just say, all right, have at it.
Well, I think the coaches are there to watch the players. Okay. They're there to see the prospects and see how high they can jump.
They're not at St. Elmo's. You're saying Kevin O'Connell's not like shirtless fighting Mike McCartney in a back room or something.
Right. Yeah.
Like the only thing that could have made that, you know, Rich Eisen interview better. It's like if Kevin O'Connell showed up with a broken nose and two black eyes, just like, hey, are you okay? Yeah, you know, I just slipped down the stairs.
He ran into Ben Dongra.
Yeah, Ben Dongra, the St. Elmo's Universal Champion. Shrimp cocktails for life. I think your nose hurts after a shrimp cocktail. Wait until you run into him. Let's do one more thing here, because I wanted to talk about this a little bit. Matthew Collar, friend of the show, hoping to get him on soon, kind of rattled the, you know, like I said, it's June. We're in don't get arrested territory. Yep. Surprised we haven't heard about, you know, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift going on some kind of romantic escapade or whatever. I think she's on tour right now, actually.
Yeah, she is. He just got a ring anyway, so she doesn't need one just yet.
Just go chill out there for a little bit. Are you going to propose?
I think they just started a beer company, actually.
Both of them?
Yeah. Kelsey's. No, not Taylor Swift.
I was about to say, I don't think Taylor's.
It would sell.
Oh my God! It could be like Keystone Light, and just slap Taylor's picture on it.
Parents would be disappointed that Taylor Swift was encouraging their teenage daughters to buy beer. But
Swift Light. That's how. Now in stores. Will Reichert, the hype train is leaving the station, Adam, because Matthew Collar's words on the Purple Insider podcast was holy hell. Yep. Collar obviously hasn't gotten the memo that the Vikings official term this year is holy fuck, because Christian Darrisaw said it and then all the coaches said it when Justin Jefferson got his contract. But anyway, he says, holy hell, that's it. That's the analysis. And I mean that in a good way. Oh my gosh, he just kicks the heck out of the ball. He was kicking 55 yarders that were going at the top of the goalposts. And even then, when they lined up everybody, he kicked it from the logo, which would be 60 yards. His 60-yard kick cleared everything and still landed in the net that was like five, seven yards behind it. Dane Mizutani of the Pioneer Press also noted that he's like a robot when talking about Reichert. You know, this is the time of the year where we heard Dalvin Cook's lining up in the slot and everybody go draft him because he's going to catch 100 passes or whatever.
Anthony Barr.
Yes, Anthony Barr is going to rush the passer more. Yeah. So I guess Will Reichert has become, and I'm not like Collar doesn't do the whole sugarcoating thing when he sees something. Like he knows what he's talking about. But I mean, are you on the Will Reichert hype train how are we feeling about, I mean, he hasn't even attempted a kick yet, but I don't know.
I would love to be, but I think my scars are just a little too deep from past kickers' wounds. Of Gary Anderson, Blair Walsh, Daniel Carlson. I mean, Greg Joseph even missed a bunch of kicks that he should have made. Just kickers and Vikings just don't go along very well. And I would love to be excited about a kicker, but I need to see him kick in an actual game. We know that for some reason, Minnesota kickers struggle inside U.S. Bank Stadium for whatever reason. The other team's kickers don't, but the Vikings kickers do, apparently. And then, you know, how does he handle, you know, last second kick in Green Bay with the wind, you know, blowing everywhere and pressures on him? Does he come through? So, like, those are situations that you can't really tell right now. But it's exciting, I guess, to be excited about a kicker. There's not a whole lot at this point in the offseason to really, like, take away. Like, you can be like, okay, J.J. McCarthy was inaccurate or whatever, but it's also practice, so he could have been trying to do stuff that we have no idea about. You know, can't really tell how offensive line's blocking or defensive line is rushing the passer, because they can't do that in OTAs. So you got to go with stuff like the punters and the kickers. And I think Ryan Wright is actually struggling. The punter for the Vikings the last two seasons, and the other guy they brought in is doing better. I saw reports about that. But yeah, it's good. The Vikings liked him when they drafted him. Kwesi seemed pretty excited about drafting him. So I'm definitely more curious to see how it goes. But I'm approaching it, you know, with caution, because this is the Vikings and kickers we're talking about. This isn't the Patriots and kickers.
Well, OTAs mean everything, Adam. That's what I saw on TikTok with everything else. You know, there's that rumor out there right now that J.J. McCarthy's going to hold out because he wants upfront money and he's not going to get it from the Vikings. which, you know, the guy that's literally staying in Minnesota and living at the training facility is going to hold out and hurt his chances for starting because he wants more money up front.
He's gonna hold
because
out
that
while,
totally
while
makes sense.
He's going to hold out while he's in the film room.
Yes. Just, I'm not coming out of the film room until you give me what I want.
Yeah.
Some people were complaining about Kirk Cousins not being in there on Tuesdays. J.J. McCarthy is just going to wake up at the damn facility.
I don't think we're going to be able to get rid of him.
Yeah, just, you're still here? Like, you need to go. Like, go see. No, I'm good.
I think it was Ocho Cinco who used to, like, his first couple years with the Bengals, he used to just sleep at their facilities, like, at their stadium. Just, I think they showed that on Hard Knocks, one of the original ones, where he would just, like, get up, go get breakfast at McDonald's, come back, and, like, just stay at their facility all day.
McDonald's breakfast. That's what I remember Chad Ocho. So
he still eats that. I follow him and he's still every day is McDonald's.
I mean, every day is how college Chris happened and got about 315 pounds. Like,
people make fun of me
for my weight, like on here. It's like, no, you didn't see me in college, man. Like the mixed skillet burrito. I remember that. It was like this big burrito with like, the scrambled eggs and the sausage, and they had like the salsa on it. It was fantastic. But it was also like 1,300 calories or something. So it was a hell of a way to start your day. But yeah, little McDonald's breakfast, you know, when you're in a pinch, never a bad thing.
That's when they had the supersize.
They did. They didn't have the supersize hash brown. That would be legit.
Now they have large, but it's as big as a screen. So it's not supersize. It's just large, but it's the same size.
It's the same size. It's just, and it costs $15. That's super weird. You know, the Will Reichard thing, like I mentioned, he hasn't attempted a field goal yet. But I do like, you know, I think I'm just trying something different and just being positive about the kicker. Hear me out here. Like, you know, we sit here and we go, why would you draft it? Why would you even bring in a kicker? Like, why did they sign this kicker in free agency? This is awful. Why did they draft a kicker? Why did kickers suck? They're actually, you know, they have no souls. They're like gingers. Well, okay. I went back and I looked at training camp 2018. And here, this is kind of just both sides of the coin here. But Daniel Carlson blasted a 75-yard field goal at a workout during an Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. Again, and, you know, the first thing they said was high elevation. Mm-hmm. That is why Mike Prefer came out and said that, well, he's only doing that because it's high elevation. And Daniel Carlson also said, it's also not a kick with like a rush and everything. So, I mean, right. It's a little harder to do. But they also said, and this was, so Dane Mizutani pointed that out, but Daniel House also wrote something that said that he made all of his kicks during a workout at the NFL scouting combine. Mike Prefer walked away impressed. The one thing that was the difference was Daniel Carlson had trouble kicking from 25 to 45 yards in college. You know, Reichard seems pretty good. It seems like his strength is kicking within 50 yards, and the Vikings just got to get him, you know, to bomb 50 yards. If you can make all the easy ones within 50 yards, I think the Vikings are going to be in good shape. If you're constantly giving him 50, 55 yarders, like go win the game here, bud. He's going to struggle a little bit. Yeah. And I'm hearing good things. And again, this could be just OTA talk, but Dallas Turner was his teammate at Alabama and he called him a cold-blooded sniper. And they heard about how much his teammates loved playing with him. You know, you look at a guy like Justin Turner, like his teammates fucking love him. Tucker. Probably because he makes every... Did I say Justin Tucker?
You said Justin Turner.
Oh, Turner. I'm sorry.
He plays for what, the Dodgers?
Blue Jays.
Oh, no.
He's in his journeyman era, as they talk about it. Because he was with Boston, and now he's with Toronto, just kind of going down. Not a big... Go look up him in the Blazing Challenge, by the way. He tried it, and it did not go... The Blazing Challenge. Have you heard of it?
No.
So Buffalo Wild Wings, the Blazing
Stuff.
Oh,
okay, okay.
So you got to eat six of them, and they give you a scoop of ice cream, but nothing to drink or whatever.
That's what you win?
No.
It's like, just a challenge.
The ice cream's supposed to help you, but you get 5 minutes to down these six...
Spicy wings.
Yeah, these six wings that'll probably give you cancer in 10 years. But, But I mean, you know, we're hearing all those good stuff. And the other thing is, too, this staff's not going to handle... Will Reichard, like the previous staff, handled Daniel Carlson. Like, it's not even going to be close.
No.
And I think, too, the Vikings might be in a situation. And again, this is maybe a little doom and gloom here, but they're not going to have a lot of, I mean, they might, but they're not going to have a lot of high pressure kicks where you go win this game. Like, I think if they're 7-10, you know, it might be a lot of just kicks randomly in the game, a lot of PATs, that sort of thing. So I don't know. I mean, ideally, if he makes his first like 10 kicks and then he misses one, I'll feel good about it. Like, just start out good. If you miss one, get back on the horse and just make some more. Like, you know, at this point, I'm not going to condemn the kid because of what Gary Anderson did in 1998 or Blair Walsh did in 2015. Like, I think it's part of the reason why, I mean, yeah, we blame Mike Zimmer, but the public backlash was just as strong. Like, get this kid off the team. He can't have this. We're a Super Bowl team in 2018. And then Kirk went, oh, you know.
Who was Dan Bailey in 2018?
Dan Bailey.
After they cut Carlson.
And look at what happened to Dan Bailey. Mm-hmm. Mike Zimmer, and then he has, what, did he miss 6 kicks in that Tampa game? It was something wild. Oh, like, yeah, they were bad. Not close. Yeah. Like, that was...
It's bad.
That was mind-fucked.
If Reichert just makes, like, I don't know, twice as many extra points as Greg Joseph did in his Vikings career, I'll probably be fine. And he makes, like, 85% of his kicks, which is normal in the NFL these days. Like, if you're a good kicker in the NFL, 85% is pretty much where most kickers are. 90% is the top tier kicker. So 85% is where, you know, I would like to see. But yeah, like you said, with this regime, Kevin O'Connell's not going to be like, you know, after one game, if he misses, you know, 2 or even 3 kicks, like going to Kwesi's office and be like, you need to cut him. You get him out of here. I don't even want to look at him in the locker room. No, he's going to go over to Will Reichert and be like, don't worry about it, dude. Like, you, everyone's here to support you in this locker room, all that stuff that he does. So, like, yeah, he's definitely in a better environment than he would have been if Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman were still there. So he has that going for him. He gets to kick indoors for more than half his season because he gets to play the Lions, too. And I think they play the Rams. So that's what, 10 games indoors? Right. So, yeah. It's exciting to hear stuff like this because it's the Vikings and kickers. But, again, I'm going to approach it with caution. I'm excited. I'm still excited.
Sure.
I think it was Dane Mizutani who said, like, the ball just sounds different, like, coming off of his foot or something during the clip. And I'm just like, all right, guys.
I'm wondering how much sarcasm they, like...
I don't think they were being sarcastic.
Yeah.
I don't. I watched that clip. I listened to that clip. Like, I don't think they were being sarcastic. Because they wanted to talk about it immediately.
Right.
To begin the episode. But they had to hold off and talk about J.J. McCarthy first, I think. So when they got to the kicker, they were, like, just unloading everything they wanted to talk about. And they were serious. And like you said, Collar's not one to, like, you know, toot someone's horn for no reason. Like, he'll tell it like it is if someone's looking bad. Like, he did it a lot with Kirk, and people didn't like him for it, but in the end, he was right. If he's saying that stuff, I think there's good reason to believe that the record's playing well. But again, it's June. He read that stuff about, you know, Carlson, and then so that didn't turn out very well, even though he's still in the league and doing well for the Raiders. But
Codewords, man. Well, what if we're just sitting on the Royce Lewis of kickers right now? Just going to come out there, just start kicking 60
yard bombs. The Fernando Tatis of kickers.
I don't know. Royce Lewis, more.
Yeah.
As long as he stays healthy, just please don't die. That's all.
Seems to be the theme of the Twins players.
He does. But
which is always good.
Everybody's healthy and hitting right now, so let's just hope it lasts.
Yeah, it's June. Nothing bad can happen.
Nothing. It's Minnesota sports. Not the Timberwolves broke the curse until they got absolutely game 5 of the finals right now. If anybody cares,
no. I hope, you know what, for the Timberwolves' sake, I hope the Mavs come back and win the series. Because then,
no,
why?
Absolutely not.
Why? Because, like, then you would be like, you lost to the Mavs.
No,
you don't like that.
We should.
But then you said about the Eagles.
I'm already just pissed off right now. Yeah, I was mad about the Eagles winning.
The Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hated it. I hate watch that entire Super Bowl. I haven't been able to watch this NBA Finals, not just by choice. Like, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see Luka. Yeah. I don't want to see Reggie Miller drooling over Luka Magic. I know he's not calling the game, but he's probably up in like a corner of the marina, just like, oh, Luka. Oh, wow. Like, why are they letting the refs breathe on him? I'm getting so mad right now.
Then the Celtics are kind of like the modern day Spurs, where, like, They're really good, but they're really boring.
And they're really lucky, too, because everybody's hurt.
They're the Celtics. They have the luck of the Irish.
Good point. what's going on at the Viking Age right now?
Well, it is June, the middle of June, the dog days of June. So we're going to just close up everything on the OTAs. I think the Vikings made a move today, actually, where they waived one of their undrafted wide receivers. Maybe a move's coming. They have an open roster spot. Maybe Hunter Renfro. Maybe keep an eye on that. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Hunter Renfro is coming.
Next splash signing. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Maybe look at some other former Vikings I know that are still in need of jobs. And then soon we'll be getting into, I think we're going to do the top 50 Vikings of all time. We're going to do the top 15 quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, all that fun stuff. So keep an eye out for all that stuff this summer. We will have stuff to read, even though there will be no football.
Yeah, I get it. It's like an appetizer, right?
Not even UFL. But is the CFL? CFL's in the summertime, right? Yeah.
I think they start in July, yes. Yeah. Think of this. We are like, our content in July, I almost call it June, is like, you know, the Texas Roadhouse rolls. You know, they bring them out. And, yeah, they're always there. Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen, big fans of the Texas Roadhouse rolls.
I am, too. I'm not even going to bash that. Those are good.
We're really just going down the food game. We got Quick Trip. We got McDonald's. We got Texas Roadhouse. Whatever you want. You want to shout anybody else out? Potential sponsors?
I had Taco Bell the other day. Still all right. I was thinking I'm going to like it better than I do, but then afterwards I'm like, probably shouldn't have had this.
Yeah. In the moment, it's always great. 8 hours.
Oh, because the nacho fries are back, so I got those.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty good.
Where can people follow you on social media? Maybe you'll have a picture of your Taco Bell.
I'm not gonna take a picture. On Adam Patrick on X and on Thread. There you go. Well, Adam Patrick NFL. Sorry.
No problem. Sorry, that's my bad. I jumped the gun once again. I was just excited to tell people to follow me at The Real Chris Shaw to see my photos of my Taco Bell. No, just kidding. But yeah, The Real Chris Shaw. I'm on X. I'm on Instagram. Gonna start. I keep saying it every episode. I'm gonna start doing a few more social videos now that I have a little time. Brookings Little League, 14U team won the Cubbies Bar and Grill Classic.
Do they get to play in like the National Little League or
no? They just get a trophy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Like, I don't know. They're like in the middle of the season right now, and like they play a lot.
I'm gonna assume you probably have to pay to like get into like a certain tournament. Probably,
I think so. And it's like a certain league.
Yeah.
So like the team has to qualify,
I
mean they're 14 too. So I think like little leagues like 8 and 9 year olds, isn't it? Well, unless like you have dude from the bench warmers as that burst.
Nick Swartzen.
I am 5. or I am 12. Whatever.
Is that
it
Nick Swartzen?
Nick Swartzen was in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, they recruited. There's that scene. Have you seen it?
No. I know who was in it, but
there's a scene in the movie where it's hard to explain. I guess I've never seen the movie, but I know this clip. But this team can't beat this team full of like losers, which is like Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider. I don't think
from Napoleon.
Yeah, Adam Sandler's not in it. The dude from Napoleon Dynamite's in it.
Directed or whatever.
Right. But they can't beat them, so they recruit like a slugger from the Dominican Republic, and they give them this like piece of paper with a $100 bill on it, and I think it was like a $10 bill, and it said "I am 9," and he looks like Albert Pujols out there just hitting dingers.
Can't make that movie today.
No, probably not. But hey, it's good. It's good entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. And however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. We can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age podcast.
The
baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.